WICC, Jim Buchanan, Talk of the Town. And I have from Koskoff, Koskoff and Beter, an attorney in the house, Craig Smith.
Thanks for having
with
me,
us. Hey, good to have you here.
Thank you.
What's your area of expertise with Koskoff, Koskoff and Beter?
Well, I am sort of a newbie to Koskoff, Koskoff and Beter. We've been around for about 75 years. I do most of the, or a lot of the personal injury, everything from car wrecks to slip and falls to every product defect and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Slip and falls are very dear to my heart.
I'm sorry.
You know, I mean, I think sometimes... those cases are of equal responsibility.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people think that, and it's one of those.
Would you agree or disagree?
Well, I'm a trial lawyer, and I am of the opinion that my client is always in the right. However, as a general matter, I mean, obviously, when somebody falls,
but I mean, you're not going to take a case where you know that somebody said, "Oh, look, I think I'll trip and fall and."
Absolutely not. Yeah. And frankly, the law prevents it. You know, a lot of people think, though, oh, you know, if you fall on someone else's property, it's someone else's fault. And that's just not the way the law is set up. And it makes the cases very tough, one, to win, and two, to handle. And obviously, you don't take a case that you think is frivolous. You don't file it. You don't win it.
I guess... You know, we keep hearing about cases, you know, one out of maybe, I don't know, thousands a year where so-and-so is known to be falling every time they go, you know, through the vegetable aisle at the grocery store and has literally made a career out of slipping and falling. So... You know,
I've heard about those things. I think those things wind up on the internet and on the news.
They're folk law.
Yeah, because they're so rare, I think, what actually happens in courts. You know, the law is against most of those kinds of cases. It requires something that makes a lot of sense called notice. In other words, a property owner has to have done something wrong, has to know about a hazard on their property and have refused to clean it up. And that's what we call notice. And that sort of thing is the wrongdoing that that we're looking for. It's not like you can just, you know, walk through the local supermarket and fall down and somehow
cash my back.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't see. This storm that came through, we found out that, if we didn't already know, homeowners are obligated in some towns within 24 hours and in other towns and cities within 48 hours to make a reasonable effort, I guess the law specifies, to clean their walkways for the public.
Right.
And that would be an example of due notice, I guess, right?
Yeah. You know, notice is what you'd think it is. It means that you know of a hazard on your property. And of course... Something that threatens private property doesn't often threaten the public, but it works the same way along roadways. It's just that along public roadways, you know, the state of Connecticut is generally, or the municipality is responsible for that, and just like they'd be responsible for any other hazard along
property. I guess my point is, you know, from the average person, the average taxpayer, the average homeowner, I don't know if you've had the experience that I have in some of the larger cities, you know, in the residential area, where there are sidewalks and curbs and streets to park cars, as opposed to rural areas where everybody parks in their driveway. Being somebody who walks a dog twice a day, you know, I do notice that almost everyone seems to understand that they have a responsibility to make a reasonable effort to plow or to shovel their walkway, and then all of a sudden, like, there's this, you know, you're walking along and there's like 18 inches of compacted snow with big footprints in it, where somebody apparently said, I'll wait till it melts. There's a word of caution for those people, right? Or
there is.
The owner or the person who's the owner of the property, I guess, is ultimately responsible, as opposed to attorney, somebody who lives there or somebody who's a renter. Who's responsible? That's a good question.
Yeah, usually it has something to do with who is in control of the property. Oftentimes, in a rental situation, it's the property owner that maintains control over what they call the common areas.
And is the sidewalk, is that considered under most jurisdictions a common area?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. If it's a sidewalk that in a city that lines, you know, the public roadway, a lot of times there's what they call a right-of-way on either side of the roadway that where the municipality is responsible for it. But usually it's the property owner that's responsible for, for their property and for cleaning it up. And the question is it a hazard or not? A lot of times, you know, snow piles up in your driveway, and who's that going to present a hazard to, a tree in the woods kind of thing? You never know it's going to fall. And if no one knows it falls, it doesn't hurt anybody. It kind of doesn't matter. But when something becomes a hazard, then the property owner has to be responsible for it.
Mm. And in the event of damage, personal or property, someone always has to be ultimately responsible if, in fact, there's a violation of some existing law.
Yeah, absolutely.
But in absence of damage, personal or property.
Right. Yeah.
It's just
exactly. Nobody gets hurt.
Nobody gets hurt. Nobody goes to court.
That's exactly
okay,
right.
You get to stay home for that day. All right. What we want to do is speak to a particular case when we come back from our break with our attorney, Craig Smith from Koskoff, Koskoff and Beter. An interesting story. The town of Darien, the tree warden, and I guess a resident of Darien, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll talk about that. We'll do a little Judge Judy coming up right here after our traffic and weather together. Gary Nepler, Driving School, WYC. All righty then. So, how does it work in the real world? I was kind of joking with attorney Craig Smith from Koskoff, Koskoff and Beter. We're going to do a Judge Judy thing, you know.
You look a lot like Judge Judy, I have to say.
I do. A lot of people say that, particularly on the radio. People say that a lot. I'm glad you noted that. But this is one of those cases where... people maybe don't understand the dynamics of how the real law works. My point being, attorney, you watch Judge Judy, you watch some of these other TV, quote, judge shows, and you wonder, gee, in a real courtroom, would that be the way something would be adjudicated or decided on? I guess that's anybody's guess. But let's go to the real world. Let's go to the real world. I don't want to digress. We have this issue with the town of Darien and the town of Darien's tree warden. Two individuals, Mr. Wisniewski and his wife, who, and I'll just kind of give the broad strokes on this, were driving in Darien when a tree fell on their car. The driver, Mr. Wisniewski, and his wife, did suffer severe personal injury. I'll let you take it from there and explain to us how this whole thing played out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Mr. Wisniewski was, first of all, a great guy, as are typical of the kind of folks that win these kinds of lawsuits, because they're tough lawsuits. But this was one where a guy was just driving down the street. There was a rainstorm. A tree fell over as they were sort of putting down one of the main streets of Darien and crushed their vehicle, literally crushed it. They had to be cut out of the vehicle because power lines were knocked down, were on the roadway in the rain. Wasn't a good situation. It took several hours to extricate them from the car. Once extricated, they were taken to the hospital, and they had, especially Mr. Wisniewski, had lots of injuries. He had, head surgery, had a broken neck. Pretty severe injuries. And, of course, she was Mrs. Wisniewski. Her name's Yolanta. She was traumatized by the whole thing. She sat in the car. Her husband was knocked out cold. And And so we had years of working with them to try to get a recovery for this injury.
So they try to get recovery, which I guess the average person would reasonably believe is fair and just. I mean, the guy was severely,
Certainly he did nothing wrong. The question is, did anyone do something wrong that caused him to get this injury?
So that's why you go to court, to try and determine that.
Yeah, well, and also, you know, as a lawyer, we try to investigate these things before we go to court. And we found out along the way that there were, like any responsible town, they keep track of the calls that they get. The town does. Every municipality in the state is required to have a tree warden appointed to watch out for the trees along the roadways for which they are responsible. And, they take reports from citizens who call in about what could potentially be problem trees. And what we found out in this particular case was there were a number of phone calls about trees along this particular stretch of roadway in front of one particular house, and this was one of those trees.
So one of the trees that people had petitioned, if I understand it correctly, and stop me if I'm wrong, one of the issues that you discovered was that this particular tree was the subject of a handful, at least, of citizens who called the tree warden in Darien and said, hey, come take a look. We're worried about this tree and the accompanying trees in the immediate area.
Yeah, well, what we counted, what our argument was there were at least four phone calls that involved.
And how were those phone calls responded to? Do we know?
That's the question, and that's what the trial really was about. I mean, there were a lot of the tree warden had recollections on the stand of in several different ways.
Meaning what?
He remembered things different than what were written in those reports. In other words, his claim was that
Who wrote the reports?
He wrote the reports as well, for the most part. The town parks department takes the telephone calls from citizens, and a particular citizen in this case kept calling about the trees in her front yard.
Did any of the citizens testify in the case?
They did not. They'd all moved away by the time the case finally got to trial.
So this case happened in 2006?
Yes.
And it was tried in?
And I believe it was 2009 was the trial, November 2009. So
what do we have? We have a judge? What do we have, a jury or just a judge?
This was a jury trial.
Okay, how many? Six or 12?
Six in this
Six,
particular
okay.
case.
Civil case?
Yes, sir.
Against whom?
Against the town of Darien.
And the tree warden?
Yes, the tree warden, who was, the town of Darien was responsible for the tree warden that they had to have. He's a municipal employee.
Sure, but that's his area of expertise. If it was a water main break, you'd have somebody from the water department.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So you have the judge, you have six jurors, you have the tree warden who remember things what? Differently about?
What's written on these reports is different than how people remember them. I mean, there's not a lot of detail.
So you interviewed these people then?
Yeah, absolutely.
But they didn't appear in court to testify?
No, they did appear in court. The town employees did, the folks that actually took the report.
Okay, but did the people who claimed to have made the calls to the tree warden in Darien, were they in court testifying, or did you have testimony from sworn affidavits? Or
there was testimony, depositions from right after this happened. They had made some comments to the police who investigated this, but for the most part, it was reports that were taken by town employees by town employees.
And were you able to substantiate, as the attorney representing the injured party, that yes, we have evidence that these people did call the town warden, tree warden in Darien to address the issue?
Well, the town didn't debate it. These were their reports. And so they said, yeah, these are the reports. And when we got the reports, we said, well, we think these reports have to do with one of these trees that is reported.
So where's the argument here then? I'm lost.
Yeah, the question ultimately was, the defense was, has to do with what they call municipal immunity.
Municipal immunity.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't like that. Yeah. All right, stay with me. This is one of those, again, if a tree falls on a car and somebody gets injured, does anybody care? That's where we are. 546 Gary Nepler Driving School, right now, traffic.
This is Talk of the Town with Jim Buchanan on WICC 600. Call Jim now at 1-800-922-6060 or 203-333-WICC.
All righty. So we have Craig Smith. He's with our Koskoff, Koskoff and Beter. This is a story about two residents in Darien driving down a residential street. Tree falls down. Guy breaks his neck. His wife is injured. His life is impacted. There's a lawsuit, a pending lawsuit. What we're finding out, attorney, is that the real issue, the crux of the issue here is not so much, quote, if I may, and I'm not an attorney, nor do I portray one on the radio, but it's not responsibility so much, this case at least. It's ha ha ha, you can't sue us because we're a municipality, even if we know and admit and it's clear and obvious that we may have, and in fact probably did, error in this particular case. You still can't sue us because we are a municipality.
Yeah, you know, I've got a lot of these kinds of cases. I get these calls all the time from folks that say, hey, you know, I was on town property, I was injured, I was on a town sidewalk, whatever. Something the town did wrong injured me. And I have to, up until basically this past December or January, you couldn't sue the town. I'd have to tell these folks, there may be clear liability.
Immune.
Yeah, there may be a mistake
because
here,
of existing.
But it's too difficult to sue a town
because of existing state law that protects the 169 towns and communities. Is that the way you'd kind of, you know, broadly paint it?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a law. It's traditionally been called sovereign immunity. We call it in this state municipal immunity. But it's an issue that has been for at least 10 or 15 years in this state. A thorn in the side of plaintiffs' lawyers who are out there trying to help people.
Okay, but, and this is when we get to the kind of big aha moment, is as a result of this case, this Koskoff, Koskoff and Beter case with you as the lead attorney, state law and the Supreme Court, I guess, let me back up, it looks like the Supreme Court made a court decision that had a major impact on future suits of citizens attempting to sue what was formerly referred to as a sovereign municipality.
Right. Well, I'd love to take credit for it. Basically, I think that these cases come down the pipe and laws are made based on each particular case. In my particular case, we were arguing that we won the immunity battle. We were arguing to the jury that the jury should make the determination. And this is a jury, by the way, in Stamford, Connecticut, very close to Darien. I'm sure they're checking their pockets the entire time because they know the municipality is ultimately responsible if they find them guilty of this particular error. On appeal, the defense was, the appeal was based on the fact that...
So Darien appealed?
Absolutely.
Okay, so the jury awarded compensation to the injured parties, and then the town of Darien appealed.
Yes.
What happens with the appeal?
And so the appeal, we won the appeal, went to the Connecticut Appellate Court. There was a good decision in our favor that sort of loosened the bonds of sovereign immunity so that we could... the verdict stayed intact. And then shortly after that, the Connecticut Supreme Court weighed in on a similar case on municipalities and immunity, and said that interpreted the statute that grants municipalities in this state immunity a little more broadly to be able to allow folks in certain circumstances.
So if they have some redress, it's just not that they get turned away, page 3, paragraph 2.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. For the past 20 years in this state, it's been the point that only school children who were required to be at school, who were injured at school, could basically file suits against their municipalities. And now the plaintiffs are a little bit more broad. There can be more folks that can file claims. Obviously, there still has to be negligence. There still has to be notice on the part of the town. But in certain circumstances, the cases have been opened up so we can file suits.
Well, in closing, as we like to say, I would imagine that this is going to put most municipalities on notice, that they have to respond to citizens' requests and act upon those requests for repair or investigation of something that has potential harm to person or property. And, you know,
that's right. It kind of makes being a good citizen a good thing to do, and makes the government have to be reactive to it. It's only a good thing, hopefully, as far as safety goes for participants or for citizens. I hope it's a good thing.
It's a good thing if people have a fair opportunity to redress an issue as opposed to just being turned away because of something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Craig Smith, attorney at large, ladies and gentlemen. Koskoff, Koskoff and Beter. Just a kind of little inside into a real courtroom, as opposed to maybe Judge Judy doing three cases in 28 minutes. The magic of TV. Attorney, good to have you on board with us. Thank you.
I didn't even get yelled at. Thank you for having me.
No yelling going on here. Traffic, weather, Gary Nepler Driving School right now.